Hello, everybody. The author's going to finish up the fourth chapter speaking about Jewish drinking and drugs. Notice how I said Jewish drinking and not actually Jewish drugs, because there is a clear distinction between drinking and drugs. I'll just gloss over this quickly that Jewish drinking, he says, alcohol as well as other types of substance abuse are 100% dangerous and prohibited. They are, could be anything that could be addictive, and substance abuse is not tolerated at all, according to halakha. However, wine is used a lot of times in Jewish practices. It goes back to the times of the Beis HaMikdash temple in Yerushalayim, and other phrases in Tanakh. We read that wine cheers the heart of God and man, while Psalm is saying wine causes the heart to rejoice. Shabbos meals and festive meals are introduced with Kiddush, with wine. Of course, there was the used grape juice as well, and ushered out with Havdalah, with wine. However, deeper insights into Judaism's approach to drinking might be leaning from strict prohibitions against praying while intoxicated and against a Kohen serving in the temple if he's under the influence. That's not a free-all. That Kohenim can't go to the bracha, can't dunkin', and that we can't have tefillahs, we can't pray if we're under the influence. So Judaism for sure puts its brakes upon the permissibility to use wine, and the quote-unquote use of Kiddush clubs, that's not even worth giving much time for, that could be, unfortunately, could be prevalent in some places, has been forbidden by major Jewish organizations like Orthodox Rabbis and also the Orthodox Union. Again, to put wine in perspective, if used properly, it could raise Kedusha and be used for proper services, but one cannot abuse it. And when it comes to drugs, so there's no clear study on how much the Jewish population is using drugs versus the non-Jewish, but says that there is no reference to drugs in Tanakh, unlike alcohol, which is mentioned frequently. And I said, it's a very interesting point, that he said the constant study of Musar and teaching of Musar, i.e., Jewish morality and ethics, tells us to understand the willpower that we have in striving to control one's inclinations. And while at the same time, we want to severely censor those who allow themselves to be dominated by their cravings, undoubtedly, this idea of Musar teaching gave us a willpower, and it played a significant role in our avoidance of drugs. Because, you know, we learned that it's not good to stay away. And he said the author believes that has helped us stay away from drugs, perhaps more than Western culture. And he also says that as we've moved more to Western culture, the numbers have probably gone up of Jews using drugs, unfortunately. But he closes off the chapter saying, very simply, that let's be reminded of the famous Torah declaration that I've set before you life and death, that we choose life so you and your seed may live to love Hashem, your God, to heed His voice and to cleave Him. Our idea is to choose a healthy life. That's what we're all striving for. And that Hashem has decreed upon us a life, and we can make it as best we can. And that's why He says in Shemos that if we will listen to His voice and keep His statutes, none of the diseases that Hashem has brought upon Egypt will come upon us, and He will be our healer. And the choice is ours to, as the Torah says, to take heed and take very good care of ourselves, as we've said many times. And that's why we want to obviously stay away from all drugs and stay away from wine if it's not for a religious practice, and even if it is, to use it in moderation. Thank you.